This morning we wanted to start, not start, we've already started. We wanted to continue our worship by hearing a little bit of a report from our teens that went on the missions trip a week or so ago. So Craig has got some of those team members here with him this morning, and they are going to share a little bit about their trip, their missions trip a little bit ago. Let's make them welcome this morning.
Good morning. This is a few of us. There ended up being 14 of us that went. One young man got sick right before we left and he couldn't go. But we were gone for a week, and I think it was 10 or 11 different organizations we worked for while we were out there in Rapid City. A few of them really stood out to me, an organization called Shift Garage, which takes donated cars, they fix them, and they sell them for only the parts that they have in them to the needy. Transportation, we heard over and over again, is a huge problem in Rapid City. It's spread out, and food banks and stuff are spread around. We worked at thrift stores, homeless shelters, abuse shelters, Chapel of the Hill, church camp. Feeding South Dakota was another organization we worked with. Love Inc., which does furniture for the needy. They have to work for it, but they have warehouses full of furniture. And we organized one of the warehouses in the heat. It was good. These kids worked hard. They listened. They were very, very respectful to everybody around them. And I'm going to let them share what they learned.
Good morning. Before I talk about the trip real quick, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who helped us get there along the way, and thank you for everyone's prayers. They were all greatly appreciated, and we're very thankful for that. So I guess to start, the reason that I wanted to go on this missions trip was to serve how Jesus would have served and do my part to help in ways that I could, bringing others closer to him. And I think that everyone would agree that we were able to achieve that in various different ways on this trip. So, yes, very glad for that. Yeah, throughout the trip, we did have some different moments where we could see the evil in the world and Satan's ways of, like, working his way into different things and the corruption. But after, like, experiencing those things, it was very eye-opening, and we went back and looked in Scripture over those different things, and we were able to discover what was truth and what wasn't. So just very thankful for our chaperones and adult leaders that helped guide us through us all that. Very eye-opening experience, but I'm grateful for it nonetheless. We got to, like Craig was saying, we got to work at a bunch of different places, and that was actually probably where most of the highlights of my week came from, was working at all these different places and just meeting all the cool people there and being able to talk to them about their life stories and what brought them there. I would say my favorite place that we worked at, my group anyways, was a place called Feeding South Dakota. It's basically just this big warehouse where we got to work in assembly line. There's pictures up there now, but we were packaging food, just like your normal spaghetti, canned foods, beans, that type of stuff. And we would make these packages, and then we would get them all ready for shipping. And then from that warehouse they would ship out to various different distribution places that would then send it out to the families in need and who couldn't provide those things. So I thought that was really cool. And then I think what made that special was the next day after we went and worked at a homeless shelter, and we were actually able to see the exact same packages that we had helped create and make, and they were being distributed to like the homeless and needy there. So it was just really cool to see how all that panned out, and yeah, I was thankful for that experience, and yeah, just very eye-opening, and yeah, very grateful.
Yeah, like Isaiah said, thank you for all the prayers and everybody that could help us get out there and everything. But yeah, it was most definitely an eye-opening experience, as on the last night, a homeless man at the church we were staying at, there was a lot of homeless people around us, because that's one of the problems they have in Rapid City there. So they had this homeless man, we were doing some stuff outside, and he came up to us and shook our hands and said, God bless you guys, and all that type of stuff. And then 10 minutes later, whatever, a man from across the street yelled some stuff at us that was not very kind and was like, your stories are fake and all that kind of stuff. It was most definitely eye-opening, as we saw two different sides there of people. But yeah, one of the things that I like going on the mission trip was we went to a place called Shift Garage and Love Inc. and Chapel of the Hills. And like at Shift Garage, where his name was Mike, he took cars and everything, and he would take them and he would fix them up and make them. So instead of paying like $3,000 or $4,000 for a car, you would just pay a couple $100 for what he is fixing them, so enough family could have the car, because they don't have a good transportation system there and everything. So that was most definitely one of my favorite parts there. So
One of my favorite things was definitely going to Love Inc. At Love Inc., they take furniture like mattresses, bed frames, cabinets, and all that kind of stuff, and then they give it away to people that need furniture. And so it was kind of cool. We got to help clean the whole church out, like all that kind of stuff. It was very hard, a lot of work, but it was a good reward. Then we had to organize it, and then we brought it all back in the church. And so how they give it away to needy people is they have to come in and work for them for a certain amount of hours, and then after they work those hours, they give the furniture out to the needy people. So I thought that was pretty cool.
We could go on all day because there were so many different things, but you know, myself seeing the kids, of course, grow and change from where we started to where we ended, and like they've all mentioned, the different things that were going around us, and the evil one trying to get to us, and it was just amazing to see how, I want to say we prevailed, but God helped us prevail, because it drew us closer together, closer to Him, and the service projects were wonderful. You know, we got to, it was hard, it was hot, and nighttime was hot because the church wasn't air conditioned, and so it was really a sacrifice, and I think it was really good, because I feel we are so blessed and spoiled that we forget that people are out there. There was our last day of service, we were at a homeless shelter, and as we were getting out of the van, a lady came up to us and asked if we would pray for her and her son, because she felt, well, she's an older lady, and her son, I would say, is like maybe late 20s, early 30s, and just asked if we'd pray for her and for him, because there was a gang out after him. And so we did, and it was so neat to see the group come around her and pray for her, our group, because Josh and I were together, and we had kids with us, and then Craig had a group of kids with him. So just to be able to, you know, pray for them and to see that we could, you know, bring God into it. And so that was really neat. And here's the big driver. He drove the big van a lot.
Yeah, just to bounce off what everybody and Christian was saying, just to be exposed to a different culture, not even different culture, just Rapid City is dealing with a very high percentage of homeless people. And just to be, you know, it's a lot different than it is here. So just being able to get out and help and go hands-on with a lot of these people, and it was just a very eye-opening experience. And the time we were there, we were only there for a week, just to help these people. And, you know, obviously there's still a need now out there, and there always will be a need for the foreseeable future. But in the time we there, I felt in the time we were there, I felt like we did the most we could in the time we had. So that was good.
Oh, and you should be very proud of your kids, because every single place we went said, these guys work so hard. I'm like, yes, they do.
Amen.
Another thing that I think was eye-opener for a lot of them was the amount of homelessness. And the church we stayed at, every didn't matter what time of day we'd go by there, there would be somebody sleeping up against the church someplace. Sometimes it was the same people in the same spots. Otherwise, the morning we left, there was three guys that were sleeping on the step, and we were making noise outside, and they came out and said, oh, you guys woke us up, and it was different. You don't see that around here, but there was really a need for help out there. Thank you.
Thank you, and well done, team. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, thank you for the opportunity that these of ours have had to minister in difficult and different situations in another place. Thank you for that experience. Bless them for it and watch over those people there. Thank you too, Father, for the ministry that you have given to us right here. And we recognize that the harvest fields are ripe here also, and there is great need. And so we would ask, Heavenly Father, by your Spirit to use us in everyday living to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to love like Jesus loved, and to see what you see, O God. And so I would pray, use us day by day, Father. Thank you again for this opportunity to worship you like this every Sunday morning. Thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy in America. I do pray for our nation, Lord. Our nation is in desperate need of you. And so I just pray that you would revive and raise up your church. Denominations aside, people of Jesus, followers of Christ, I pray that you would raise us up and use us for your glory in such a time as this. Thank you now for the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome. Help us by your Spirit, Father, understand it, process it, and to live according to its teachings. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you've got your Bible, we're in Romans chapter 5. We're going to jump right there. If you've been around here any amount of time, you know that we've been in Romans a little while. And I just want to jump right to 5 this morning. I wanted to revisit 2 and 3 a little bit to remind us where we have been, but I'll maybe do that as I press on through 5. In Romans 4, which I didn't touch on, and if you've been around here, you will recognize I didn't touch on Romans 4, but Romans 4 goes right along with Romans 2 and 3, and Romans 4 is an example that Paul uses Abraham as his example in that chapter. So we're going to jump right to Romans 5. And so if you've got your word, let's take a look at it there. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Remember now that Paul is writing to the church at Rome. And in the first chapter, he makes this strong statement, this positive statement about their faith and how strong their faith is. As a matter of fact, the church of Rome, he said that their faith was known throughout the known world at that point. And so he's speaking to Christians here. He's speaking to people that have professed faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's where we pick it up in Romans 5. He says this, having therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this, I'm going to take the time to emphasize 4 words today. Justified, if you were here last week, you heard Pastor Charles speak to justified as we were preparing for Baptism Sunday. I'll mention that again. I'm going to speak to peace a little bit, to hope, and the word that Paul uses later is reconciled. So justified, peace, hope, and reconciled. And here's what he says first, therefore having been justified, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does justified mean? Charles said it last week very clearly, just as if I'd never sinned. Because of the shed blood of Christ, because of our faith in Him, we are justified by that faith. And as Charles said, it is just as if I'd never sinned, thanks be to God and the shed blood of Christ. Verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope, there's that word, for the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Paul writes, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. Now, does that thoroughly confuse you? I think some of you are probably wondering, like I do, when does Paul stop and start in these sentences, and how does he put them all together? But anyway, there's a lot there. I want to touch on just a little bit of it. As I mentioned to you, I want to justified and reconciled, and I want to speak to peace and hope a little bit. All right, in verse 1 he says, because we have been justified by faith in Christ Jesus, we have peace with God. I want to tell us a little bit of what that means. Because see, later on in verse 10, he uses the word enemy. You see that? To have peace with God, we can no longer be an enemy. We were all enemies. And except for the cross of Christ and the shed blood of Jesus and our faith in that, we, humanity, are enemies with God. Until we come to that point of recognizing the cross for us, putting our faith in Him, so then we are justified, we are enemies. And so when he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, it is a very big deal. Amen? To have peace with God is a very big deal. We are no longer at odds with God because of the cross and Christ and our faith in that. We are no longer enemies. We have peace with God. Listen to me now, friends. This is important. If we have not been born again, okay, John uses that terminology in chapter 3. If we have not been born of God, if we have not been justified, as Paul uses that terminology a couple times in here, if we've not been justified by faith in Christ, we do not have peace with God. That's a very, very bad place to be, not having peace with God. If we've not been born of God, we've not placed our faith squarely in Christ, we've not been justified and reconciled, brought back to God, we do not have peace that he's talking about. We do not have that peace. We are still enemies. Are you still with me, brothers and sisters? We are still enemies of God if we have not this peace he's talking about. It's only when we have surrendered our faith to the Lord Jesus Christ that we are justified and reconciled to God. Now, I was using the example in chapters 2 and 3 about, well, I'm a Jew, well, I'm circumcised, well, I keep the law, and we can do the same thing. Well, I go to church, well, I do this, well, I do that. People would say, well, I believe in God. I hear it. Jesus heard it. Apostle Paul heard it. And then I follow up with to people make, well, I believe in God. I come back to them, do you have peace with God through faith in His Son? There's a difference. The Pharisees said, I believe in God. All kinds of the Jewish people would said, I believe in God. I keep the commands. I've been circumcised. I do the laws that are required of me. But do you have peace with God through faith in His Son? That's what Paul is talking about here. To be justified just as if I'd never sinned, and to have peace with God, to be reconciled to God, is a faith thing. It's not just in my head, well, I believe in God thing. It's a subscribing to the cross and to Christ and embracing Him by faith. Their argument, well, I'm an Abraham descendant. I'm a Jew. I've been circumcised. I keep the laws. That's not peace with God that Paul is talking about. Are you still with me, friends? That's not peace with God that he's talking about here. Well, I go to church, Jim. Well, I believe in God. Well, I did this or well, I did that. Well, I keep the commandments. Have you peace with God through faith in His Son? That's what he's talking about. Reconciled unto God. We have that peace. We can have genuine peace, friends, when we know Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen? Have you experienced that, friends? Thank you. I know the rest of some of you have too. You're just bashful this morning or tired. We can have peace with God when our faith is genuinely in the Son of God. You say, Jim, yeah, but what about all the stuff in my life? All the difficulty? And I know there are things that get us upset. I know there are things that have us on edge. I know that there are difficulties. But I'm telling you, this peace that he is talking about, no longer enemies with God, is something supernatural. It's something very available. I've been reading lately, and Charles has been reading, and we've been starting to hear about coronavirus resurfacing and variant this and variant that and mask mandate this and mask mandate that and vaccination this and vaccination that. And that makes people anxious. It gets people stirred up. It kind of drives the peace out of a person. Or the drought. I pray for our farmers and I pray for rain all the time because the drought is serious stuff. Or last summer it was rioting. Or we look at the news and you see fightings. There's all these things that can make us anxious. There's all these things that can get us stirred up. But we can have genuine peace, friends, when we know Christ as Lord. Peace that propels us beyond today and this pandemic or that riot or the next difficulty. And peace that propels us to the hope that we have in heaven. That's what he's talking about. We are no longer enemies. We can have this peace. Friends, listen to me. The peace that Paul is talking about here, and that peace that Jesus talks about in John 14, 27, it's not of earthly kind of peace. It's a heavenly kind of peace. It's a godly kind of peace. It's a supernatural kind of peace. The peace that Paul refers to here is not that kind that says everything's going to be perfect in your life just because you've put your faith in Christ either. He's not talking about that kind of peace where everything's going to be perfect. That's perfect. That's on the other side. But this peace he is talking about, it is a peace in your soul. It's a peace in your heart. It's a peace that says God is still on the throne in spite of the circumstances around us. Amen? It's that kind of peace. It's that peace that says, I'm okay when I've just been told we have cancer. It's that peace that says, I'll be okay in Jesus even when your spouse has walked out on you. It's that peace that you sense in your spirit even when death has knocked on your family's door. It's that kind of peace he's talking about. Not a skin deep kind, but a peace of our souls that says, in Jesus, I still have a hope. I still have peace in Jesus, even though my world has been shattered. I say hallelujah. I say thank you, Lord. And then he uses the word hope. And I ask people sometimes, do you have hope? Because they look around at our circumstances. For farmers, they could look at the circumstances and not have any hope. Or for when the rioting is happening, or the next person is sick with COVID, or now something else, you look around and people, I wonder, is there any hope? And I'm telling you, friends, when we have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, there's always a hope for tomorrow and forever. There's always that hope. It may look dim today. It may be heavy. It may be hard. It may be ugly. But when we have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, we have a hope. Then in verse 3, the apostle says this. After he talks about hope, he says that not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Does that ring a bell with you? Are you glorying in tribulation, friends? I don't see any hands. Paul said there's a couple, thank you, a couple of brave souls. And not only that, he's talking about the hope. Then he says, but we also glory in tribulation. The first thing that comes to my mind, tell me, Brother Paul, who in the world glories in tribulation? But in the first century Christian, suffering was the rule for them. Suffering was just part of putting their faith in Christ. I'm going to follow Jesus. It might mean suffering. It might mean persecution. It might mean tribulation. And it still means that for our brothers and sisters around the globe. And so Paul says, not only do we have this hope we can glory in, but he says, but we also glory in tribulation. One might ask, why in the world would I do that? Well, look what he says. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. What's perseverance? Stay the course. Hang in there. You can do it. He's saying to us when it's easy, I've said this to us before, when life is easy, my faith isn't going to get stronger. Life gets hard and I begin to trust. I start to go through some tribulation and some trials and some troubles. I'm either going to trust in him or I'm going to bail. And that's what he says. We glory in the tribulation because they experienced lots of them in the first century. All the Christians did. Why would we glory in tribulation? Because it produces in us some staying power in our faith. That's what he says when he says it produces perseverance. It produces that kind of staying power that Paul said to the church in Philippi, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's what perseverance is. And tribulation of our faith gets us to perseverance. And perseverance, he said, then produces our character. A character unlike the world. A character molded in the image of the Son of God. And he said, character produces hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I've had people ask me and challenge me and say to me, you mean to tell me, Jim, if I decide to follow Jesus, everything ain't going to be perfect? You still with me, brothers and sisters? You're groggy this morning. We need to do some jumping jacks or something? I've had people say to me, and I'm sure you felt the same way, you mean to tell me if I put my faith in Christ, I'm justified by faith, everything is not going to be perfect? He just said, we glory in tribulation. Did he not? Because our tribulation produces that perseverance, that stronger faith that can endure the next obstacle we encounter. Jesus spoke to that very topic in John 16:33 when he used both the words tribulation and peace in the same conversation. Here's what he said. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. That's what Paul said. In me you may have peace. You will not get the peace from the world, friends. Until you've been born of God, until you've been justified, you will not have the peace he's talking about here. Not the peace that Paul was talking about. Not the peace that Jesus is talking about. You will not have this kind of peace until you have been justified by faith. And Jesus said to the disciples on the very night of his betrayal, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. And then the very next thing he says, but in the world you will have tribulation. Peace, he says, in me you can have it. While you're in the world, there's going to be trouble. And then he says this, to our encouragement, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you see the words Jesus uses, friends? In him, we can know that peace. And at the same time, we recognize we live in a fallen world and there could be great trouble. There could be great tribulation. But he says, don't be disheartened. Jesus has overcome the world. Then someone might ask me, someone might ask you, why would I want to follow Jesus if it could mean hardships, difficulty, tribulation, and persecution? Why would I want to do that? I'll tell you why the first thing comes to my mind, friends, because every one of us is going to encounter the great white throne of judgment or the judgment seat of Jesus. And he's going to give us direction at that point, and then eternity begins, and hell is real. And so if I'm weighing in my mind, I don't know, Jim, or that I don't really know, or that I want some tribulation, some trouble, some trials, just to produce perseverance. I'm not sure I want all that. Consider for a moment what Paul would tell us later in the book. These earthly troubles do not hold, I'm paraphrasing, do not hold a candle to the glory that is ours in him in heaven. Yeah, we might struggle a little. We might stumble. We might have some tribulation. But we need to put our faith in Christ. We need to be justified. We need to be reconciled. If we're ever going to have this peace and an eternal hope, that's the only way. And so if I'm wrestling with why in the world would I want to follow Jesus if it means I'm going to have hardships and troubles, because hell is real, for one. Hell is real. And personally, I just happen to kind of enjoy the peace that passes understanding in my soul because I've been justified. And I know that a lot of you do too. Allow me to wrap it up. Our time is already, I'm not through the verses, but our time is already up. And so let me say this, of those closing verses. It's a strong statement to clarify again what Paul is saying. Verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You see the beauty in that? While we were still enemies, he could have said, while we were unjustified, when we were not reconciled to God, Paul says to them, when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's us, by the way. You say, Jim, I'm not that ungodly. We just looked at Romans 3:23 that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us were in the ungodly category. All of us were in the enemy's category. All of us are in the sin category. And if we haven't been justified, if we haven't been reconciled to God, we're still there. We're still there. We don't have to be, because in His great love, verse 8, in His great love for us, but God demonstrates His own love towards us, and while we were still over there, sinners, enemies, unjustified, while we were still over there, Christ died for us. And then in 10 he says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." I don't know where you're at, friends. Only you do. But I want us to understand clearly here in putting chapters 2, chapters 3, chapters 4, which is the example of Abraham, and chapters 5 together. Paul makes crystal clear, it's not my Jewishness or because I belong to a certain denomination. It's not my circumcision or because I've kept the law. He said the law is valuable, it's good. He's going to emphasize that throughout the whole book, but the law doesn't save you. And he's telling us the same thing. It's not your Jewishness, it's not your Christian heritage, it's not your parents' faith. You're only justified when you come to faith in Christ yourself. And only then, when we are justified, when we are reconciled to God, having been reconciled, he said, we shall be saved by His life. It's only then that we'll have the peace of God and the hope, no matter what the circumstances are. I don't know where you're at, friends, but you do. And if you're not there, I would encourage you, by faith, repent of all sin, claim Christ as Lord, invite Him into your life, and say, "Lord, take over. I want to live for You. I want to follow Jesus." Only then will we be justified. Only then will we be reconciled. Only then will we have peace with God and the hope of heaven, no matter what's happening today. Only you know where you're at. The Lord and you have to work that out. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But you need to be justified by faith. You need to be surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Repent of sin and decide, "I'm going to follow Jesus," and be just as if I'd never sinned, washed in the blood. If you're confused by all that, come see Charles or I. Come up here even while we're singing this last song, or send us a text, send us a messenger, send us something so we can explain that. It's eternally important that you find your way to the cross by faith and are justified and reconciled and become a friend of God instead of enemies.
And as we depart, let us pray. Loving Father, we just praise You for Your great name, the name that is above every other name. You are God of very gods. Father, we praise You for Your unending love for us. So as we depart and go into our mission field this week, help us. Help us in our relationship with You, that we can truly glory in tribulation. We can glory, because another word for that, Father, is to boast, to show, and to be filled with joy that we can be called Your children. So, Father, how we act and react to our world, it is truly a testimony that You are for real. And we want to be Your ambassadors, a representative, You working through us to help others to find their justifying grace, that they can come to You, because we've proven by how we live that You are real and that You do love us and that Jesus did die for our sins. Help us to take that message of good news with joy. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.